Praise the Lord, everybody.
It's good to be back in church tonight. I'm glad that I'm the one that's called on to preach. I love to try to preach. A fellow told me one time that we don't pay you by the hour. He said if we paid you by the hour, you'd be a rich preacher. We have a lot to talk about and a short time to cover it. And the subjects that we're talking about, we can't exhaust. We can preach it tonight and come back and pick it up and start on it again tomorrow night. Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Let's stand together. I want us to step across the aisle and shake two or three hands, would you? Let's take a few minutes and have some good Pentecostal fellowship. Praise the Lord, everybody. Clap our hands for worship. Camp meeting. Do it some more. Praise the Lord, everybody. Give greetings to Brother Price, Brother Cantrell, the entire district board. Thank you for the invitation. God bless you. I've been so blessed to be in the Western District, California, many times over the years. I was thinking this evening that, this is my third visit since last November. I'll be back in September. I told my wife that I have preached more in California, second only to Mississippi. I told a couple of the brethren one night this week that I don't know why in the world I'm here. I preached everything I know in California. And one responded with a serious face, and he said, would you just please go and study some more? I said, man, I'm studying all I can do. I appreciate this district. I appreciate the leadership of this district. I don't think it's flattery at all for me to say this about Brother Price. He is truly a bishop elder and a leader among men. And I carry him in the highest of respect and honor. I appreciate the brethren of this district, what you stand for on the message. And I do feel like I'm among brethren, your kinsmen of the truth. I felt the Lord both nights in preaching, and I feel like I'll be touched again to preach tonight. However, I find myself concerned about some of you. I think that you would enjoy it a whole lot if I would just let you be comfortable and just pour it out, and you just take it in, and in about an hour, we'll go back to our hotels and our trailers and wherever we're staying, and we'll say, my, wasn't that good. And it may well be good, for preaching is always an enjoyable thing. But I find that if we don't get involved in something, sometimes it's not as good as it can be. I have not battled this today because I believe the Lord spoke to me to do this. But I'm going to do something in the next few minutes that I've never done in a camp meeting or a conference. And I'm not dropping my baggage when I say this. I'm not glad-handing any of you when I say this. But I have preached camp meetings and conferences and conventions all across this country. And I want to say that carefully. Please, I'm not dropping my baggage when I say it. But I've never done before what I feel led of God to do tonight before I preach. And I'm not going to do anything that's unscriptural or out of order, but I feel led of God to do it. I want us to have a prayer meeting before I preach. And I'm not talking about standing there and yawning and waiting and looking at your watch. I'm not talking about flopping back down in your chair and waiting and seeing how long somebody will pray. I feel pressed in the Holy Ghost. And don't judge me harshly, but if my efforts for the first two nights doesn't reveal my honesty to this district, there's nothing I can do tonight. If Thursday and Friday night to reveal it. But I feel an overwhelming urge of a need of us to touch God tonight. I have not come with a fear tactic. I'm not a prophet of doom. But I know one thing, we need to touch God. And tonight I'm going to preach on prayer. If God will strengthen my throat, I'm going to preach on prayer. But as the Lord visited me today, Brother Price, in the hotel, He challenged me, why don't you call on my people to pray before you preach about prayer? The simple verse is true tonight. We have not because we ask not. And I'm not going to go through a grandizement of requests of who needs what and what needs who. But I'm very comfortable in this statement that everybody in this room needs something from God tonight. Only God knows what we're facing tomorrow. I've tried to teach a little revelation, Daniel, call it eschatology if you choose. The older I get, the more I understand that I don't know as much as I thought I knew. I just know the Lord is coming soon. And He's not coming back for people that's playing church. He's not coming back for preachers that are playing preach. He's not coming back for singers that are playing sing. He's coming back for people that are watching and waiting. And I'm not going to let it go too long unless the Lord takes over. And if the Lord takes over, that'll be the sermon tonight, okay? I'm ready to preach. And if this doesn't prove it, I promise I'm ready to preach tonight. I've got 25 pages on the pulpit tonight. Not that I go by them meticulously, but I'm prepared. And I feel to preach. But I feel more that we need to pray right now. And if I don't do anything else right tonight, calling a prayer meeting is right. I want to be very careful in my next few words. There's people in this room tonight that's got sin in your life, and God is trying to reach you in this camp meeting. This pastor is in this session tonight that's desperately in need of a break in your ministry. Your preaching is struggling. You almost dread to go to church, don't you? Drag yourself to the pulpit and can't be happy enough when it's time to go home. And saints of God that are faithful tithe payers. You've been praying the last several days, maybe several weeks, and it's like your prayers have touched the impregnable steel curtain. I just want us to pray. And if you let me obey the Lord, I want us to do it this way. I want us to turn around and kneel where we're standing and pray. I'll preach in a few minutes, but I just can't preach until we pray. Would you pray for a few minutes? I'm calling a prayer meeting. Hallelujah. Would somebody intercede for me? I promise you today, men, God has visited me. My spirit is broken. My God, my God. My God, my God. The district board will watch me. I'll not do anything out of the way, but when has it been out of order to call for a prayer meeting? Would somebody intercede? Can somebody touch God? Oh, God.
Jesus. Praise the Lord, everybody. Let's stand together. I'd like for the men to go find another man, the ladies to go find another lady, and let's pray for each other. If we've done anything right in these night services on my part, tonight it's right. Men, would you pray for each other? Preachers, would you pray for each other? Ladies, would you pray for each other? Maybe a pastor's wife will pray for another pastor's wife. Would you give this district unity like it's never known? Would you bind this district together like it's never been bound together before? Would you move in this district? Bless our leaders in this district. Bless every pastor in this district. Bless every pastor's wife in this district. Bless every church in this district. Oh God, bless every layperson. We call upon you, God. Come on, church. This will change things. Prayer never fails. And I know God told me to do it. Prayer never fails. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I need thee, oh, I need thee every hour. I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior. Hallelujah. My God, let's sing it together. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour, I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I read to you tonight from the book of Genesis chapter 4, the book of Luke chapter 18. I'm not so certain that it's a wise thing to invite Brother Odom to preach these meetings. I'm beyond that stage that I feel like I've got to get up every night and produce. I'm just beyond that. And if what I preach doesn't fit your fancy, I'm not trying to fit your fancy. I'm just tired of trying to make people feel good by the way I say things. I need a move of God. I'm not so certain that my preaching life is going to get me in the rapture, but one thing I know, my prayer life will. Been enough preaching across this pulpit this week to shake the entire state of California. I know I'm making an expansion of thought, but if ever there was a need of prayer, we need to pray, folks. And I'm not an expert in prayer. And let me be sure to quickly, publicly confess, I don't pray nearly enough. Oh, my God. In the 25th verse of the 4th chapter of Genesis, and the 1st verse of the 18th chapter of Luke, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, who Cain slew. Verse 26, and to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and called his name Enos, or if you please, Enoch. Then began men to call on the name of the Lord. I don't want to lose any of my prepared presentation tonight. I'll probably come back and say it in a few minutes. But when men began to call upon the name of the Lord, that was 84,600 days after God first put man in the garden. 84,600 days before men begin to call upon the Lord. That's 235 years. Not one Sunday school, not one revival, not one Wednesday night Bible study, not one camp meeting, not one choir song. 235 years, 84,600 days before men begin to call upon the name of the Lord. Luke 18 and 1, the first verse of a great parable in the parabolic ministry of Jesus, and the first verse only. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and faint not. Praise the Lord. I'm asking my precious friend, Brother Underwood, with a loud voice, would you call upon the Lord? Hallelujah. Let's do it again. Brother Abbott on this side, would you call upon the Lord with a loud voice?
Brother Frost, would you call upon the Lord for us? Anytime the Lord wants to move in this nation tonight, I promise you, I'm going to step aside. And I really feel somewhere out here that some of you people are overly concerned about my conduct tonight. You can't charge me, friend, scripturally. You can't charge me scripturally. You know why we feel the way we feel? It's because we got into such a mold and such a rut. We got to do it this way. If it's not done that way, it's not done right. We preach about prayer. We sing about prayer. We preach about revival. We preach about miracles. But we never give ourselves an opportunity to humble ourselves before God and let God do it. I want tonight to be a great night for this district. And if this is selfish, then so be it. I want it to be a great night for my wife and I, too. We have a lot to do for God, folks, don't we? Praise the Lord, everybody. I know you stood as a missionary, sister. I haven't met you personally. But I want you to lift your hands and pray, would you? My heart is so hungry, she prayed. I've come with a heart that needs to be filled, she prayed. Jesus, please meet my needs, she prays. Oh my God, help me, she said. I want to respond with deep respect to my precious friend, Brother Coon's Bible teaching this morning. When you feel what's happening here tonight, you haven't got to start being spectacular and calling people out and guessing what's wrong with them. God knows what's wrong. God knows what the needs are. If we'll just touch the hem of the garment, the need will be met. And it doesn't make any difference if I ever know what the need is. God knows the need. You may be seated, but I want to tell you again, I want to put fair warning on you, that at any given moment, I may call another prayer meeting tonight. Don't leave me till I'm finished tonight. If you got to go out, that's fine. I understand that. But put everything on hold. I want everybody to be captured by the power of God in this service. It never ceases to amaze me that Pentecostals are afraid when we start moving like we're moving right now, just letting God work in our service. I told you just a moment ago that it was 235 years. It was 84,600 days. Before man began to call upon the name of the Lord.
And I've tried my best to picture today. I promise you I have. I've never thought like I have today about how that first prayer meeting looked like and sounded like. I'm no more a Bible scholar than the rest of you. I certainly haven't mastered any foreign languages. So I think I'd be safe, and it would be much better for me just to keep it in just common English. But somewhere, 235 years, 84,600 days after God placed man in the garden, or at least from the expulsion of the garden, somebody, and that somebody could have been Seth, or that somebody could have been Enoch, said these words. And to the sound man, if you have a reverb, don't have it, fine. But echoing across the pages of history, I can hear a voice saying, it was after the serpent deceived the woman. It was after Adam and Eve did eat of the forbidden fruit. It was after their eyes were opened. It was after they saw their nakedness. It was after God cursed the serpent. It was after God multiplied the sorrow of the woman. It was after God pronounced the sweaty brow on a man. It was after man and woman were driven from the Garden of Eden. It was after cherubims with flaming swords protected the entrance of the garden. It was after the birth of Cain. It was after the birth of Abel. It was after the violent crime when Cain slew Abel. It was after Cain buried Abel in a shallow, sandy grave. It was after Cain's punishment was greater than he could bear. It was after Cain became a fugitive and a vagabond. It was 235 years later. It was 84,600 days later that I heard a voice coming from the scripture today that said, Lord. Apparently, the original family tried everything before they tried prayer. It's true that we today in Pentecost, we're guilty of the same. We try everything imaginable to have a move of God. And then we finally decide we better pray about it. My generation has tried promotions, and promotions have failed. My generation has tried publications, and publications to a great measure has failed. We have tried music, and we've tried songs to bring a move of God, but both have failed. We have tried testimonies, sermonettes, and homilies, and that trio has likewise failed. We become so ludicrous that we've tried gadgets and games, plays, and dramas to have a move of God. Hallelujah. Boy, this may not be much preaching, but I feel God with me. Somebody needs to try this. Lord. Pastor, if your church isn't growing, pray. Pastor, if your church isn't having a revival, pray. Pastor, if your Sunday school is losing numbers, pray. Pastor, if your youth group is going worldly, pray. Pastor, when you see the enemy coming against your flock like a flood, pray. Pastor, if you can recognize Satan fighting your public ministry, pray. Pastor, if the devil is fighting your church in the altars, pray. Pastor, if the devil is battling you with the lack of converts to be baptized, in Jesus' name, pray. Somebody ought to try this. Oh, Lord. Somebody's going to break through tonight. I'm not a prophet. I don't pretend to be a prophet. I just know I'm called to preach and God has sent me to you this week. But somebody's tried to pray every prayer imaginable. You've read about prayer. You've thought about prayer. You've preached about prayer. But tonight all he wants to hear from you is, oh, Lord. I don't need more money. I need more prayer. I don't need a nicer house. I need more prayer. I don't need a new wardrobe. I need more prayer. I don't need a newer car. I need more prayer. I don't need a better church facility. I need more prayer. I don't need a bigger church facility. I need more prayer. I don't need more church socials. I need more prayer. I don't need more church extracurriculars. I need more prayer. I don't need more church picnics. I need more prayer. Somebody's going to say, oh, God. You're seeing me in the real tonight, friend. You have all night so far, but tonight I'm really, 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 really real tonight. Because I'm the one that recognizes I need the Holy Ghost now more than I've never needed the Holy Ghost. And I'm not going to get it no other way but by prayer. I can study my Bible. I can memorize Greek. I can memorize Hebrew. I can understand foreign dialects. But I need to pray more than I need those things. You might be able to preach like Paul. Or you might be able to sing like an angel. But what you need to do the most is say, oh, God. I really fought against spirits, not you, but spirits Monday night. And I guess that's my lot this week because I suppose the Lord has sent me on the cutting edge to reach for people in California, the Western District. But it doesn't matter what you have on that impresses God when you pray. Prayer does not require a special suit, a special dress, a special pair of shoes. Prayer does not require a special place. Prayer does not require special eloquence. He's no more interested in how perfect your articulation is than there's a man on the moon. But what he is interested in is when you take off your pride and take off your arrogance and you don't care who listens and you don't care what it looks like. But all you can do is say, oh, God. I feel like I need some help while I'm preaching. I want young brother Abby that just stood up to stand back up. That's for young brother Allard, if you would. And I know this may be off of the notes, and everybody may not like it this way. But I didn't think everybody liked it when I called a prayer meeting a while ago, son. Would you just step out in the aisle and just kind of walk up and down here and pray a little bit for me? Somebody's got to stand in the gap for me right now. If the devil can block our prayer, he'll block our revival. If the devil can block our prayer, he'll block the move of God. If the devil will block our prayer, he'll block the miracles. If the devil will block our prayer, he'll block harmony. He'll block unity. We can do nothing without prayer. Pray, son. Pray, son. Pray, son. Oh, God. I deny the charge that I feel, and I'm only dealing with what I feel in my spirit. I deny the charge from somebody out there, but I'm only trying to get us worked up to get through tonight. Honey, I'm here to preach to midnight tonight. I'm not trying to get through. I'm not trying to impress you, but I am telling you that somebody needs to touch God tonight. Pastor! Pastor, don't leave the campground tonight without touching God. Saint of God, don't leave the campground tonight without touching God. Come on, Brother Allard, I want you to lift your voice. Somebody say, oh, God. We've gone long enough without touching God. We've had enough conferences, enough conventions, enough special gatherings. We bragged on each other. We patted each other on the back. We sung to each other. We preached to each other. We bragged about what we're doing, but the world is still going to hell. Worldliness is still coming against our churches. I cannot preach a sermon on holiness good enough to keep it out of my church. But if I pray, if I touch God, the Holy Ghost can take care of it. Hallelujah. 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 For if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, and turn from their wicked ways, and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal the land. Friend, it's time to pray. Brother Allard, can you hear me? I don't want to embarrass you, young brother, but would you work with me while I preach? I know the spirit of prayer is on you. I've witnessed it in my heart. I just really felt to ask you to work with me. Would you do something else for me? Would you walk across the front here and lift your hands and pray? Don't wipe your tears, son. Let them walk or wash. Or come on, come on, come on. Walk across here. Lift your hands. And would you pray? I want you to watch this, church. Prayer never struts. Prayer never struts. Prayer never struts. Prayer never struts. Prayer is never arrogant. Prayer is never boastful. Prayer is never proud. Prayer never struts. Now I'm going to say it again. Would you please get it out of your mind of trying to say the thing just right and just go back to the book of Genesis, and if all you can say tonight is, oh God. The reason that some of us are uncomfortable in this tonight is because we're strangers to prayer. The reason we're uncomfortable tonight is because we barely say grace at the table and good night to Jesus when we go to bed, and a barely a good morning to Him when we get up. And I'm as guilty as you are. The reason that we're not comfortable in this kind of preaching, this kind of environment and atmosphere, is because we put prayer on the back burner. We put prayer on the back shelf. But I've come tonight as a voice in the wilderness. It's time to reach out and get a hold of prayer. There's power in prayer. There's victory in prayer. There's overcoming strength in prayer. It's not the will of God that you live in defeat. It's not the will of God that you live in intimidation. You're just one prayer away. You're just one prayer away. And I hear a preacher say, oh, God. Hallelujah. That's back in the bleachers are saying, you better get a hold of it, Brother Odom. It's about to get out of control. Would to God that it would get out of control. Would to God that the old-fashioned fires of prayer would sweep through this camp meeting. Would to God that we would get lost in the Spirit. Hallelujah. I may be losing some of my popularity on the West Coast after tonight. Some of you preachers may not think so highly of me after tonight. But gentlemen, I've come to bear my heart to you. Nothing is going to save our churches. Nothing is going to save our cities. And nothing will save our nation but prayer. Nothing but prayer. Denying the power of prayer, sin is at an epidemic proportion across the land. because the Christian movement no longer prays like it once did. Violence is on the streets of every city of America. Because we don't pray like we should, there's murder, there's rape, abortion, euthanasia, infanticide, drug addiction, drug overdose. I'm telling you, prostitution is out of control. Homosexuality is out of control. Pornography is out of control. America is dying because America's not praying anymore. America's dying because America is not praying anymore. But tonight, my burden is not for the 50 states of the Union. My burden is for our denomination. If we're not careful, we're going to lose some things because we don't pray like we ought to pray. We're going to lose some treasures because we're not praying like we ought to pray. Prayerless churches are carnal churches. Prayerless churches are weak churches. Prayerless churches are lukewarm churches. Prayerless churches are backsliding churches. Prayerless churches are worldly churches. Prayerless churches are dead churches. Prayerless churches are unfaithful churches. Prayerless church members are uncommitted. Prayerless church members are rebellious. Prayerless church members are worldly. Because of the lack of prayer, our buildings are empty. Our altars are empty. Our baptistries are dry. Our Sunday school classes are empty. But prayer can turn it around. When a preacher feels what I feel tonight, if he is not extremely cautious, in a good gesture of goodwill, he can miss it because it's such a fine line. And I want to be very careful to tightrope it tonight. I don't want to miss it, but I will say to you from the depth of my heart, we have learned to go through prayer calisthenics. We have learned to have it where it will not be inconvenient. We have learned to say words that receive the applause and the scholarship of men. But I appeal to you, don't be concerned. If your heart is burdened tonight, if your heart is broken tonight, don't worry about who's standing next to you. Don't worry about who's sitting next to you. If your heart is heavy, Jesus sees it. Jesus knows it. And God can change it. That's perfectly fine if she receives the Holy Ghost while I preach. What's wrong with that, critic? What's wrong with that, skeptic? What's wrong if somebody is healed while I preach? What's wrong if burdens are lifted while I preach? We've got churches all across our fellowship that will pay big bucks to get into a softball tournament to win a trophy. Why don't we call for a great prayer meeting with all of our churches? You know why? Because nobody's interested in that. Nobody would get up at daylight and drive 200 miles to go to a prayer room, but they'll drive half the day to play a ball game and come late to church on Sunday morning. Something's wrong somewhere, friend.
We can call a potluck lunch and everybody comes. Call a prayer meeting and the faithful few show up. More time on the softball field is less time on the harvest field. More time in the banquet room is less time in the prayer room. My God, folks, we don't need sororities and fraternities and tournaments, but we need to get off. In midstream, I stop to say, oh, God. Hallelujah. Let's have a prayer meeting right where you're standing. I have had such an overwhelming burden since I've been to this camp meeting. I've had such an overwhelming burden since I've been here. And nothing will change the problems like prayer can change the problems. I challenge you tonight. If we will pray, God will send the revival we've been praying for. I challenge you tonight. If we pray, God will give us the harvest that we've been praying for. I challenge you tonight. If we pray, God will give us the miracles that we long to have. I challenge you tonight, if we pray, God will deliver those that are bound. I challenge you tonight, if we pray, God will give the increase. I challenge you tonight, if we pray, God will give the healing. I challenge you tonight, if we pray, God will send the power. I've got through to us yet. I think we still like to pray the prayers that sound good. But once I heard Jesus denounce those Pharisaical prayers, and he said, you pray those prayers to be heard of men. But if you would follow Jesus in his prayer life, you will find him on the mountainside praying. You'll find him in a solitary place praying. You will find him with loaves and fish in his hand and giving thanks to God. He prayed in the graveyard of Bethany, but he brought Lazarus from the tomb. He prayed a bloody prayer meeting in Gethsemane, but a prayer submission. He prayed on the cross, but every prayer he prayed brought dynamic results. Such a powerful demand that's placed on the pastorates of the United Pentecostal Church. How many times do we go to our assemblies on Sunday nights and we expect our pastor to turn the crank? We expect our pastor to turn us on. We expect our pastor to preach us from the pew. We expect our pastor to make everybody feel good with a fresh sermon every Sunday. But we drag into church late. We never go to the prayer meeting. We don't give God time in the worship service. I've come to denounce you, sir. I've come to denounce you, ma'am. You can't put the man of God under that kind of pressure. The pressure is on you. It's time for you to pray through. It's time for you to break through. All I know about her terminal condition, and Brother Allard, I think terminal is correct. The Bible said she had suffered many things of the physician. 12 years she was dying a slow, bloody death of what was possibly an ovarian cancer. Now she was financially broke. She had no more funds, no insurance. She bounced from GP to GP, specialist to specialist, and she was nothing better. But she resolved, I've heard about a man that could heal the blind. I've heard about a man that can heal the deaf. I've heard about a man that can raise the dead. I've heard about a man that can feed the hungry. If that man comes to this part, I plan to touch the hem of the garment. I'm certainly not preaching for your response. I'm not trying to make you do something to please me. But I feel deep in my bosom a preaching. Yes, I do. I feel deep within my soul that some of you have gone just about as far as you can go. You've come to this meeting. If God doesn't undertake for me, some are saying, I don't know what I'm going to do. But I've come tonight with a sweaty brow. Jesus is passing by. And if you'll resolve to touch the hem of the garment, there's nothing impossible for God to supply. Would you come to order, please? Brother Allard that's praying for me, would you say, oh, God. Oh, come on, Brother Allard. Nothing pretty about that. Oh, come on, Brother Allard. We can pray better than that. Oh, come on, Brother Allard. We're Pentecostals. We have the gifts of the Spirit, Brother Allard. Is that the best you can do, Brother Allard? I want somebody that can play pretty words is what I want. I want somebody to make it sound good is what I want. That's not what God wants. All he wants is somebody to call on his name. Oh, tell you folks something. When my daughter was at the door of death 3 years and 3 months ago, all I wanted was somebody that could touch God. I didn't care what color they were. I didn't care how high their intellect was. I could care less how much money they had or the lack thereof. I was desperate. I was desperate. I was desperate. I was desperate. I can't hear you, Brother Allard. Simply put, when Zion travails, can there be an intercessor? Is there not an Abraham that can weep over Sodom? Is there not a Jesus that can weep over Jerusalem? Is there not a Paul that will go to a Corinth? Sabo Shaka. I wish some of you preachers would obey God. I mean, I'm going to preach. Don't worry about that. I just wish some of you preachers would obey God. I saw a couple of men back there, arm in arm, shoulder to shoulder. In spirits like we're having tonight, in services like tonight, you can settle your differences. You didn't hear me, did you? In circumstances like tonight, you can settle your differences. But when you come into the presence of God, like I feel like I'm in tonight, and like I feel like you're in tonight, this will perform miracles for your harmony, for your unity. Brother Price, have you been praying for this camp meeting before this week got around? Huh? Feel that. This dear old man of God probably walked the floors, lost sleep at night, praying every pastor's name out by heart, looking down the ministerial directory and calling upon the Lord for your name. What's happening tonight is not a magic miracle by Brother Odom, but what's happening tonight, a dear old man of God, a district board praying man of God, has been praying for God to do something in this town meeting. This is a date of destiny. This is the will of God. We are on target. We're on schedule. But it begins with prayer. Brother Allard, I can't hear you, son. Would you pray a pretty prayer? Would you just say, oh God, for me? I'm not going to break what she's doing just to please some of you, but my organist is hidden at a beach here right now, weeping unto the Lord and calling on God. Her touching God at that beach of prayer is worth more than her tickling the ivory. Are you listening to me? You touching God tonight in prayer is worth more than your wealth, more than your possessions, more than anything that you own. Please touch Him tonight. Would somebody say, oh, God. Sister Allard, I know nobody can hear you, sis, but I know you're travailing. I know you're interceding. And I don't think it's a mere coincidental that you're in this camp meeting this week. Would you reach out for me, sister, and would you touch the hem of the garment for somebody here tonight? Please, Sister Allard, like it's your last time to pray, like it's your last time to intercede. Let's have a prayer meeting right where you're standing, right where you're sitting, right where you're kneeling. Let's have a prayer meeting. Jesus said that men ought to always pray and not to faint. Pray. Pastor, if your church is struggling, pray tonight. Pastor, if your young people are worldly, pray tonight. Pastor, if you're losing Sunday school numbers, pray tonight. Pastor, if the devil's battling your preaching, pray tonight. Pastor, if the devil's battling your altars, pray tonight. Pray, pray, pray. Last but not least, if you're lost without God, if you're lost without God, I would not leave this tabernacle tonight without finding an altar. I'm telling you, the judgments of God are about to fall upon this generation. Don't take a step into the darkness of this night without begging God to forgive you and to come into your life. Don't leave tonight lost. I need someone to intercede for the lost. I need someone to intercede for the lost. Backslider, 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 backslider. I'm reaching for you, backslider. Don't go to hell. Don't go to hell. Don't go to hell, backslider. Don't go to hell. Brother Sound Man, I don't think they heard me. I said, backslider! Backslider! Backslider, don't go to hell. Don't go to hell. Would you come and pray, backslider? What will it take to reach you if 1,300 praying people can't pray you into an altar? What will it take to get you in the altar? I would like for everybody in the house to have a prayer meeting. Would you? Everybody in the house have a prayer meeting. If it's not too inconvenient, would you get out of your chair and kneel? If you're sick in your body or afflicted, I understand. But if it's not asking too much of you, can we humble ourselves before God? My God, my God, my God, my God. Oh, God. I wish every minister of this district would move involved and get involved here. And let's go pray for each other. Ministers of this district, would you bind together? Pray for each other. Please. Satan desires to divide us. Satan desires to shift us. Let this be a night of bonding together, harmonizing together. Would you, preacher? Would you, preacher? I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Those in the audience, would you please stand? Every hour, I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to
I Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, we need you, Jesus. God, we need you, Jesus. We need you. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.